All right. So if you weren't here Wednesday, you didn't hear my warning. My warning I'm going to quickly give you is that this is not going to be a necessary traditional lesson that you might have on the subject that we're talking about. We've been talking about the family for the last quarter, growing closer as family members. And we've been using a text, and this morning we're doing a special lesson just on the family and in relationship to raising boys or understanding boys. And it's going to be a little different. I've got some excerpts that I want you to look at, some statistics I want you to look at. I want to show you a couple of clips, videos, to talk to you about just the general makeup, the physiological or the sociological makeup of boys, why they think the way they do, why they act the way they do. Maybe it'll help you understand and appreciate some of the annoying things about boys. Women, maybe. And that applies to your husbands as well, because some things we don't grow out of. And my wife will tell you that's true, at least to the age that I am in my 50s. So today is a day in which we're really going to focus on that, with the hopes of getting input, experiences, and looking at the scripture that we might understand our role and how to help. Now, you may say, like I mentioned to Giovinkas on Wednesday when I was talking to everyone, they don't have daughters or don't have sons. They've got three daughters, so maybe they just need to check out. Nope, not so. Because in life, you're going to interact with boys. You may have some grandsons. May the Lord bless y'all with many of them, because you need to experience that. I think it teaches you a lot of lessons, humility and patience and lots of things. But even if you're a mentor, even if you don't have any children, you're not going to have any grandchildren, but as a mentor, we need as a society, as a church family, to better understand boys. Because in our current society, and I'll show you some evidence of it, it is not politically correct or even expedient to be male today. It's looked at in some regards as a detriment, as a flaw, as a negative trait, just to be male. And you don't have to do much searching to find evidence of that. So I think that there are some trends that are taking place that we need to be aware of, cognizant of, and to help prepare our role and our sons or grandsons or the young boys or men that are growing up that we have influence on. Up to no good, the rascally things boys do. When we were 13 or so, my friends and I had this game. We'd go down to the basement where it was completely dark, and each of us would find a hiding place. Then, someone would start the game by turning out the lights. And each of us would try to hit the others with darts. You would think you heard someone scream or make a noise, and you would come out of your hiding place and throw your darts, but at the same time cringing because you were open and fair game to be thrown at. At times there would be complete silence. And then you would hear someone scream or yell, "Ow!" One time when that happened, we turned on the lights and one of the guys had a dart dangling from his cheek just below his eye. After seeing him and realizing how seriously hurt he could have been, we realized the danger of this game. So we vowed to one another, we will never play again without goggles. This man writes, "We used to sit in a circle and spit up at the ceiling. The idea was to make your spit stick. If it didn't, then it would land on the boy across from you, who would try to dodge it." One guy was amazing. He could make it stick every time. and it would dangle up there, going, linga, linga, linga. And then it would let loose, and he would catch it in his mouth. We consider ourselves the first recyclers of our community. Now, that's gross, right? And that's stupid, to throw darts in the dark. While we're not going to raise hands, I'm going to tell you affirmatively, wives, mothers, women, all of us men in here have either played these games or games like them. And I don't care what age you are, it's true. It's true about boys. It's true about men. They do things. I say they, we do things. And when you choose to have children, you have to be honest with yourself and admit that you willingly volunteered to potentially roll the dice and have one of these in your family to raise and to love. Darts, slingshots, spittle, guns, it doesn't matter what you give them. They can take anything and make it into an unsafe experience or game. That's the nature of boys. That is how boys think. It's also how a lot of men think, in all honesty. How many of us used to play games like we would get a new pair of skates or a skateboard, and we would get in the neighborhood with our friends, tie a rope to the bike, and let him pull us as fast as he could pedal in the neighborhood, going around, taking cuts and corners until somebody wiped out and experienced terrible injury. Yeah, don't raise your hands, but you know you're lying if you don't raise your hands, all right? You've done those things. Or if you've not done that, then you made slides out of sleeping bags and you slid down the stairs. And when that began to lose its enjoyment, you began getting a running start and sliding down the stairs until significant injury happened. Or you played cops and robbers, or you played cowboys and Indians. Nowadays, they play superheroes. And you thought, when you jumped off the edge of your first floor roof, that you really could fly. You thought that. And you started by jumping off steps. And you knew that every time you did it, you got better. You went further. You're flying. So you took it to the next level and experienced great pain or injury. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the way boys think. Most boys, not all boys, but as a general principle, that's the way boys think. And there is a reason for that. Oh, I just realized I can see that up there now. Good. That is very nice. There is a reason for that. Does anybody know why boys are like that physiologically? I'm not talking about their emotional the fact that they intellectually and emotionally grow at a much slower rate than women, that's a given. But what physiological part of boys makes them think the way they think, to do the things that they do? It's a chemical. It's called testosterone. That's exactly right. And boys have a lot of it, a lot more of it than girls do. So, testosterone is considered to be the, quote, chemical or the aggression chemical, which when we say boys are motivated to action, they act and then they what? Then they think, right? Okay, that wasn't such a good idea. I didn't really think that through very well. Any of our guys ever had that epiphany come into your heads? Women may have too. That wasn't a good idea, but men tend to say it a whole lot more frequently than women do, because we're often active due to the testosterone levels. Those of us who have more testosterone tend to be more impulsive. And we do things. We ask. And then we ask the question, was it wise or not, a lot of times afterwards. But it's a contribution that actually can be of benefit. Can you tell me when it would be of benefit that a male filled with testosterone could be an advantage? Huh? Okay, yeah, for protection. Think about that for a second. When there's a dangerous situation, you don't have time to look at the benefits and the consequences, the pros or the cons. Sometimes you have to act impulsively with aggression to protect or to act to protect others. And it's that chemical that allows boys to be able to do that at a faster rate than a lot of times females can do. So I want to just have you take a look at this video.
Testosterone has a reputation, a bad reputation.
Only a jerk would act like that, a complete idiot.
It is often associated with violence, rage, and aggression.
The amount of testosterone in your body may be equivalent to a pinch of sugar in an Olympic swimming pool, and yet it has these profound effects.
To understand how it works in humans, scientists are looking at the beginning of life. When human life begins, all fetuses look female. Both males and females are exposed to testosterone in the womb. Boys produce significantly more. Levels peak at around 4 months. The amount of testosterone that male and female fetuses are exposed to at this critical point affects how the body and brain are built. Less testosterone can result in better verbal skills. More testosterone can lead to better visual spatial skills, like this mental rotation test and parallel parking.
I had to put the parallel parking part in there. Sorry, ladies. Sorry. All right. It is, that is a funny thing. You just think about it and your experiences on it. So anyways, I want you to think about what that clip shows you, is that testosterone is not something that is a choice that boys have the amount of or not. It's the way they're made. And it's actually interesting that scientists have studied the brain, the male brain, when that induction of testosterone comes to the brain about that particular period of time. And they actually consider it, it's kind of funny, brain damage. Yeah, boys are damaged with their brain when they are in utero. And the point is that their brain is chemically and physically changed. It's not the same anymore. And that's not our fault. You can say whatever the issue is that you don't like about boys or your husband or whatever. And while there are some things that can be controlled, that can be learned and can be modified, the fact of the matter is we are the way we are as far as the way that we think and react, a lot based on this particular impact on our brains in utero. And so those traits, those tendencies, while they have to be mastered and controlled, they are still created and altered in the womb. And so I think that's very important that we understand, because it can change maybe how you look at your son or your husband when he does those things that you often say, did you not think before you did that? Well, the answer is no. The answer is no. No, we didn't a lot of times, all right? But we can learn through that process. Now, I want to share with you, just before we go on, and this will be really what Ronnie is talking about. Oh, no, you can't see the text. All right, well, the text, this is interesting. I'll just ask you what it is. So what is the dominant female hormone? Huh? All right, it's not estrogen. You can see it? Oh, well, I couldn't see it back there. I didn't think you could see it. All right, I've learned one. Just know that for future reference, Shane. All right, it's oxytocin. That's right. Oxytocin is the female hormone that is induced in utero that helps shape how they think and how they develop. All right? Now, it's a hormone that has what kind of traits? What is, aside from the fact that it induces labor, which is what we often hear the word most often used, what are the traits of the hormone on the female mind and personality? Huh? It makes them smart, okay? Well, intelligence is not actually affected by oxytocin, even though you might think it is. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right, Aaron. It's the bonding chemical. It's the nurturing part of what makes women the way that they are when it comes to this particular aspect of the differences between men. It's a hormone that allows women to connect with each other, to bond with each other, to bond with babies. They're able to bond with their memory. Now, this is an important thing that women understand. You ask men why they can't remember anything. Well, this is one of the reasons. Because your memory has an ability, your brain has an ability that our brain doesn't have. Because women often remember things because of what? Huh? Yeah, feelings and emotions of the events. And they connect events with their emotional side, not their intellectual side. Men generally remember events due to the intellectual side of things. They can remember facts. The facts don't necessarily do any good, but they know facts. Women associate with their memory through events, through their ability to smell things, to touch things, and things like that. So think about it. In my experience, Stephanie remembers things, good and or bad, based on what happened, all right? So if something happened that was negative or something happened that was really positive, she can remember everything about the event. I'm talking about what everybody was wearing, where everybody was sitting, what everybody's conversation was about. She can remember that stuff. Now, to a man, that's not important. None of that stuff is important, right? But to a woman, because it is connected to her memory through this emotional experience, she will remember everything. So don't debate your wife. If it's dealing with a situation which something really good or really bad happened, she's gonna know it backwards and forwards. All right, that would help me if I would just remember that. All right, so this oxytocin is very important. All right, let me just quickly give you a couple of things about it. It's stimulated by smell, by talking, by touching, by sitting and having conversation with people, and holding. Think about it for a second. If you go to the hospital, if you have a friend that had a baby and you go to the hospital, what is the first thing the woman does? Amber? Goes to hold the baby, all right? It doesn't matter whose baby it is. It's an immediate response. She holds the baby. She'll gaze and look at all the features of the baby's face. She'll touch him. She'll caress him or her. And she will make a connection with that child that will be unlike anything the man can do. What does the man do when he goes with his wife or goes to the hospital to visit a baby? Yeah. He said, I don't necessarily want to touch. He'll go and do what with the father?
Have a cigar.
What else might he do? Go chat about the game. You know, what sports are going on, or what's the weather like, or what's going on other than the baby in your life that we might have in common to talk about, right? That's what a man will do, all right? He doesn't make those connections the same way that a woman does. Think about your own child. And I loved holding my sons. I loved that part, but it was different with Stephanie. And I'm sure you've experienced that in your relationships too. So to prove this point, or to illustrate this point, let me just ask you to consider this question. Women, why do you think that dogs are considered man's best friend or a boy's best companion? Huh? Okay, they're hunters and protectors, but think about it from the perspective of the way I just talked about the relationships. Okay, that's right. That's one very important point. It doesn't matter how dumb your ideas are, your dog always loves you. That's right. When you go out with your dog to do stuff, it doesn't matter what it is, what are you not required to do? Talk. You don't have to talk. You can go spend the whole day with your dog, and you can enjoy doing all kinds of things. Throw frisbee, hit golf balls, do all kinds of things. And your dog's going to be right there with you, and you're going to enjoy his company, and you don't have to have conversations. That's nice. Guys like that, all right? Now, it's not necessarily a great trait, but it is true about guys. Boys are like that, all right? So are men. So what I'd like to do is, now that we've just kind of laid out some general principles about boys, what I really want to do is spend the rest of our time talking with you about some biblical principles about what I consider to be one of the most important and neglected concerns and issues and relationships that are going on with boys in today's society. Now, Ronnie may end up saying on Wednesday, well, that's the same for girls. I don't really know. All right, I don't have much experience with that. Actually, I have zero experience raising girls. But through my experience as a father of sons, through my experience as an educator of boys, I want to tell you that there are some traits and there are some concerns and there are some shifts. And the Smiths will, even though they're at FCA, will tell you they have some of the same concerns with some of the boys that they see coming through their school. They're both principals, elementary and all the way through high school, right? Yeah. I bet you they'll confirm what I'm telling you about this, all right? First of all, I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I want to look at some passages with you. In this passage, God is, through Moses, making some very important statements about the future of the nation. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, I want you to start reading with me in verse 4. We'll read verse 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, and I want you to listen to the point that he makes and to whom he makes this point. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and with all of your soul, and with all of your might. And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on the gates. All right? So let me ask you this. Who is God emphasizing that these teachings go to amongst the nation? He says children, that's true, but it specifically, David?
Well, that's what I was going to say. When you said son, my translation says children, so I have that question.
Okay. So, Shane, help us out. Shane wasn't listening to my class this morning. I get a cut due, all right? All right. So, I don't know the variance on that. And I didn't look it up because I got the term sons in my translation. So, Shane, is there a generic term there? Or is it masculine?
I'm looking up here real quick.
Okay.
Stall for time.
All right. Stall. All right. While we stall, Ralph. It does make sense, but I don't know the actual translation. So Shane's going to look that up. But I think that the point, you'll see, the point is going to be the same. Because as the sons go in the nation of Israel's history, so goes what? The nation as a whole. If you look at the history of Israel, when they departed from the path and the teachings of God. Who is charged with the transgressions? It's the men. It's the men always. And so the point will be the same. And it's the men who are going to be responsible for the direction of the nation. That same point will be made to Abraham as well when he teaches his son Isaac. And we'll get to that in a little bit if we have time. Is there a clock anywhere around here? It's okay. All right. That's one thing we need. All right. But everything else is perfect. It's beautiful. I'm not complaining at all. All right. All right. So let me just say to you that as the nation goes, so goes its sons. As the sons go, so goes the nation. It is a result of leadership. That's the ultimate point.
Yeah, so it's a masculine noun, but it can be more generic. Like when we say mankind, mm-hmm. sometimes we mean men and women. Okay. So it's more generic.
Okay, it's more of a generic term, but has a masculine.
It's a masculine. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. So that passage in Deuteronomy, let me continue reading. Look in verse 20. When your son asks you, is that the same term?
Probably the same idea.
Same idea, same term. All right. When your son asks you in time to come, saying, what do the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments mean, which the Lord commanded you? Going down to verse 24. So the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good ways and for our survival as it is today. And it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all his commandments before the Lord our God, just as he commanded us. So the fact that he identifies sons or children in the masculine earlier on, the fact that he identifies sons or the masculine form of that term, the point, I think, is made that the nation of Israel is going to rise or going to fall based on the leadership that God has put in the sons or the men in charge of. And you can look again at history. You can look at who is charged, whom God charges with sin and failure to do. It's always the men. Now, is there a contribution by women? Absolutely. All right? Absolutely. But the leadership is the key. So, what I'd like to do is to give you a scenario of today, what we're looking at. Did I hit something, or are y'all doing something back there? All right. Now, this passage in Hebrews, I want you to mark. We're going to come back to it in just a minute. Hebrews 12, 5 through 11. We'll come back to that in just a minute. But I want you to look at some of the specific, relevant, current information about boys. Now, there's a lot of slides here, but I just want you to quickly read them. By almost every benchmark, boys across the nation in every demographic group are falling behind. Consistently receive lower grades than girls. Boys score lower than girls on direct and indirect measures of writing skills. Boys outnumber girls in remedial courses, math, English. Nearly two boys are held back for every girl in grades. Boys receive 70% of the D's and F's on report cards. This is very interesting. When educational quarantines on girls were lifted, girls started to bloom in school. Boys did not become dumb. Competition revealed, however, that the language and literacy platform on which schooling is and always has been built favors girls. Now, the Smiths may provide some insight on this because they're also working in a school system. But it has been my experience, and parents need to know this, that the school environment, the school setting, is favored towards females. It's created, and the pros and the cons, the punishments and the consequences often favor girls. Well, what do I mean by that? Think about your environment. I should ask Amy here to talk about the boys and the girls in her class. She could give us an earful about the experiences. But the things that boys normally do in school, in a classroom environment, are things that annoy girls. Think about it for a second. What do boys normally do in class? Yeah, they fidget. They move a lot. What else? All right, they tease the girls. That's right. Boys need to get up. They need to interact. They throw spitballs, they flick things, they flip ears, they pull hair. They do all kinds of things that are often a result of the fact that what can they not do for any long period of time? Sit still. You can't make a boy sit still for very long. You just can't do it. Think about it as you raise your children. All right, son, go sit down in the corner. You got 15 minutes timeout or whatever you do, all right? He's going to go to timeout. He's going to be over there. And in just a few minutes, he's going to be asking, can I come? Is it 15 minutes yet? How long do I have to be here? They can't stay still for very long. That's a terrible punishment for a boy to make him sit still. However, classroom environments today require it, almost all of them. You sit still. You're orderly, you're quiet. If you tap your pencil, then you're disruptive. Move to the back. If you fidget, you're disruptive. Move to the side. If you do any of those things repeatedly, you're kicked out of the class. It's the way our classroom environments have become. And we now have created a system that punishes boys for things that really they can't help, a lot of them. You've got to think about that. How many of you have gotten calls from home that your son will not sit still? He keeps disrupting class. He keeps doing this or keeps doing that. And it's annoying everybody. Well, I'll tell you who it annoys. It annoys the teacher and it annoys the girls. All right? That's the basic premise of it. All right? So that's important. 91% of public school teachers are female. So think about that. If things that boys do irritate and annoy girls, Well, those behaviors can be highlighted or become a major problem if girls or female teachers don't understand how boys are wired, all right? Boys get unfairly labeled as morally defective, hyperactive, undisciplined, or problem children when quite often the problem is not with the boys, but with the families, extended families, or social environments, which do not understand their specific needs as human beings and as boys. Michael Gurian and Dr. Leonard Sachs are two of the most prolific writers on single gender, on how boys think. If you got a son and you just don't understand how he thinks or why he does the things he does, I'd look at their books because they are really good. They break it down where you can understand the basics of why boys do what they do. And used their material a lot. So I don't want to go through, there's a lot more statistics, but it will be on the end when it comes to Ritalin and all kinds of other drugs, what the boys are being given. And at a very young age, it's mind-boggling how many boys are on drugs that are prescription, all right? So, goodness gracious. All right. So, anyways, I'm going to need Wednesday night too. Can I have Wednesday night too? All right, Ronnie will give me Wednesday night too, or at least sometime, all right? So, the point that I want to make is that in our society, in our social construct, in our educational system, boys have the deck stacked against them when it comes to being able to compete on a level playing field. And it's often the pendulum swings, right? So there was a period in time where there were others, where girls didn't have and the same opportunity that boys did. Now the pendulum has swung to where boys, for being boys, are often penalized for the things that they're just by nature apt to do. So you need to be aware of it. So God, and this is really where I wanted to spend the bulk of our time. Clearly, we didn't get to it, and unless Ronnie gives me some time, we'll miss it. But discipline is the key where most often boys are sent down a direction or a path that ends up bad. Either for a lack of discipline or for discipline that is not administered with love. Either of those will destroy a boy's path or will greatly alter it and make it very, very difficult to overcome. Now, granted, everyone's responsible for dealing with whatever hand they're dealt. I just want you and us as parents or grandparents to understand that this subject is absolutely critical for the future of even American society, not just the church. To have leaders, to have godly men as fathers and leaders, but in society as well. So, since I don't have time to really get into it, I'm going to stop here. And if I don't get to do the rest of my lesson, then I'll do it some other time when time permits. But does anybody have any comments or any questions or any observations from your own personal life that you'll tell? Yes, David.
I'm the father of two boys. I want to first thank you for giving us the ultimate cop-out. Testosterone is everything. With boys to have a positive outlet to channel that aggression, that need for action into something that's worthwhile and not so knuckleheaded as so many of us do. And I think the scriptures give us that. God doesn't say boys should be boys, don't destroy the world. God says boys should be boys and follow what I teach them so that they can do things the way I need and I can use that strength and power. I think that's the key of this whole discussion. We talk about boys. You have to channel that. You can't stop it. You can't change it. You can give all the men you want, it's just going to destroy them. channel it and make them into the men they should be, and not try to turn them into the girls.
And that is the synopsis of the rest of the story. All right, thank you. Yes, Dean?
Where you're going with it is going to be important, because I'm like, how do I manage that? You know, how do I not squash where I know that that is the skills he needs, but yet somehow fit into our system still? Mm-hmm. And that's a big challenge. I definitely see it already in his eyes just over the last year or two. He's 13 now. But I see what you're saying, and it's just, okay, how do I manage? And of course, he's in a house full of girls, which is a challenge.
I'm sure that's an understatement. In the most respectful. Anybody else? All right. Thank you. Yes, Brother Willis. Your personality is something that has such a variance, it's kind of hard to know where to put that in, but you're right, it does play a part. Thank you.